All right, Luke, in your Bibles, the book of Luke tonight. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house. I appreciate the singing. And I appreciate the missionary sharing his burden and what the Lord's doing in his life. I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad that everybody ain't quit. Amen. There's still folk being faithful to serve the Lord and going with Him. And I want to say this to young, middle-aged, old alike. You'll never go wrong serving the Lord. Amen. I have no regret. I have no regret serving the Lord in these years. I've been saved 31, preaching 26 of it. I ain't a long time, but I'm glad that I'm a part of the work of God. Amen. Now, bless His name. Won't you look in your Bible, book of Luke, chapter 16, and then stand, if you're able, in honor and reverence, reading the Word of God. I know this may be different in this conference, but I do believe this is what's on my heart tonight. The Lord have us to. As an old man preacher, you say this is the portion of Scripture the Lord's assigned me. Amen. That's all I know to preach. When God gives something to my heart, I want to be obedient to Him tonight. I know God will help us if we allow Him to tonight. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse number 19 tonight. And I know this is a mission conference and you're raising your yearly support for your missionaries. But I believe this is why. This is why we need to be a part of faith promise and sending missionaries out. But not only sending missionaries, but being a witness ourself. Amen. Let me throw this out. This won't cost you nothing extra, but this will help you. We ain't paying folk to do our witnessing. Amen. That's right. Notice he said just start in Jerusalem. Start where you are and then you work outward. Amen. And so I believe we need to be a witness for the Lord telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 16 beginning in verse 19. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the good song of Zion that we've heard in this place tonight. Thank you for the good testimony and the presentation of the work. How about this dear missionary brother? I pray that you'd bless him. But I pray now tonight, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, as we look into your word. Oh, Father, open our eyes spiritually. Open our hearts for the word of God tonight. I pray for that next lost in this place, and the sweet Holy Ghost, I convict and draw them, they'll call upon you and be saved before it's everlasting too late. Help us as your people, Lord, how to be broken and burdened over the souls of men, women, boys, and girls headed to this place that we've read about tonight. Use us, I pray, anoint us by the Holy Ghost, and we'll praise and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at the latter part of verse 22, the first part of 23.
For the Bible said the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Then look at verse 27 and 28. The Bible said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I'm going to preach just a few minutes tonight, the Lord being my helper, on this subject of one in hell and five on the way. One in hell and five on the way. We find this passage of Scripture, how the liberals hate this passage of Scripture. They try to deny it. They try to downplay it. But ladies and gentlemen, as sure as there's a heaven, there is a hell. Amen. And by the way, there's more about hell in the Bible than there is heaven. Amen. And we find here this rich man, we don't know his name specifically, but we know he existed. And we find that there came a day that he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And we notice that when he lifted his eyes in hell, that he was concerned about his five brothers. And no doubt living the same type of life that he had been living. Amen. I'm going to say something tonight. If there's anything in that text that ought to grip us as the people of God, it's the fact that this man was more concerned over souls than a lot of church folk are in our present day that we're living in. How to say this tonight? We need to be broken and to be burdened over the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Now you're listening to a preacher tonight that loves to shout. I'll shout the drop of the hat and drop the hat to shout. Amen. How to say this tonight? More than we need to shout, we need God to stir our hearts and stir us up and to win others to Jesus Christ and be a part of the work of God and sending missions around this world. Well, we find here he said he's in hell already. He said, I've got five brothers on the way. I thought today the Holy Ghost reminded me in the last several days been meditating on this passage, but the Lord took me back to Matthew where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14, he said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate, and there is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Ladies and gentlemen, with those verses of Scripture, it lets me know there's a multitude that's headed to hell. Amen. And there's a remnant, if you please, that are saved by the grace of God. As I read those verses afresh this morning, real early today, God the Holy Ghost really showed to me in that verse. He said, and few there be that find it. You understand this. Our brother testified, raised a Catholic. He knew there was a God. He knew there was a Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there's people around this world who are looking for something that'll satisfy their soul. They're looking for something that'll bring them some peace, bring them some joy, and they're looking and they can't find it. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I that say we have found what they're searching for. I can ask you something. You remember the day when you was lost without God? Oh, you was looking for something to satisfy your soul. But one blessed day, sweet Jesus, I paid you a visit in the person of the Holy Ghost and dealt with you, and you called upon Him and He saved you. I'm going to tell you, there's folk just like that out there, and they need somebody that'll take them the gospel and tell them how to be saved. Amen. Well, we find here this man, I was crying out, I send somebody, send Lazarus out of my five brothers. I don't want them to come here. You know, I could preach tonight on some things in hell we need in the church. Now, that's kind of shocking when a lot of folks you say that. But there are some things in hell we could use in the church. And the flip side, there's some things in the church ought to be in hell. Amen. Right there, ain't that right? Hell yeah, just hang with me now. I'm just an old-fashioned preacher, and you know that. If you step up, it'll get rough. Amen. I want to tell us tonight that there, this man was concerned of his brothers that were lost and headed out of the same hell that he's in already. Amen. Oh, somebody say, out, preacher. Preacher, that's just that. That's that scare tactic. That's that emotional preaching. Well, I thought about that last several days in particular. I thought about it right around here. If there's a two-story house and it caught on fire tonight, Brother Tony, there'd be a fire truck come racing. The light would be a flashing, the siren would be a blaring, the horn would be a blowing. And those men would drive up at a rapid speed. They'd jump out of that truck. I'd jerk hoses off, hook them up. It'd be the captain began to say, listen, take a line over there, get a ladder. Somebody's trapped up on the top floor. They're stuck there. The fire's taking over the house. There'd be a lot of emotion. There'd be a lot of hurrying going on. But could you imagine at the same time if another fire truck come up? But it was coming slow. No light flashing. No siren blaring. No horn blowing. And they get out. Their first truck, they showed up ready to fight a fire. Have their helmet and all their coats and their boots and their gear on, ready to fight a fire. This next truck drives up slow. They stop. They didn't jump out of the truck. They sat there, man, then a door opens. Man gets out in his Bermuda shorts and his flip-flops and his T-shirt. And another man gets out with a cup of coffee and a donut. Amen. And they say, what's the big deal? What's everybody hearing about? And look around and look at the guy calling the shots and listen, y'all need to calm down. You're too emotional. You're hollering and hurrying too much. They're going to be all right. It ain't no big deal. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. That upsets you and that upset me. But in the spiritual realm, it's happening all the time. We've got church folk that could care less about sinners. I'm wondering, why do you get stirred up? Why do you preach like you do? Why do you witness like you do? Why do you sing like you do? It's because folk are going to hell. And somebody needs to reach them at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I scare a lot of folk when I preach and I travel. I'm so emotional. Now listen to me, I've got friends that near this emotional. And it ain't about the emotion. Amen. It's just my gear. Amen. Just how I am. I can't be them, they can't be me. I've got some friends, if they tried to preach like me, they'd hurt themselves. Amen. If I preach like them, I wouldn't know what to do. Amen. It's just how God called us, how God made us. But I want to tell you, there are sure a burden over sinners, as sure as I am. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're here to do. That God would stir us up and help us as the people of God and understand they're below our feet tonight. I want to say to you, first of all, that hell is real. It's a real place. Just below our feet is the region of the damned. It's a place that the Bible said was hell. Amen. I'm going to say this. I'm all for studying. I'm all for looking up words. In the 1828 Webster Dictionary, Strong Concordance, Vines, that dictionary, I'm all for it. I know about the Greek and Hebrew words. I'm all aware of that. But I'll tell you something. There's sometimes you just ain't going to look nothing up. These guys think they sound real educated and smart. Talking about Sheol and Hades and all this other stuff. I don't tell you something, them words won't put fear in you.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, a lost man won't tell you to go to Sheol Hades.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Is that not truth? Well, here we are. We ought to realize it's a reality, it's a real place. And people are headed at a breakneck speed toward this place that the Bible calls hell. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, right below us is a place that's called hell. Now, I won't say this. Somebody said, boy, if we'd preach in hell, they'd repent. No, they wouldn't. No, they rejected God here. They are not interested. You listen to me. It's set. Friend, some folk got a misconception about hell. It is a place of torment, of punishment. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't just somewhere holding them. It's the end. There is no other chance. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. One in hell and five on the wage. What would find in Luke 16? And friend, every one of us tonight would have to say that we know, we that are saved, we know that there's a hell. Amen. I don't know about some of you guys, but I hear preachers all along riding up the road and radio and in some of these camp meetings I'm in Jubilees, and some of them just kind of aggravate me, just to be real honest with you. They're just talking foolishness sometimes. And all, but listen to me real good right here. Ladies and gentlemen, when we realize that there's a hell, I want to tell you that's a good starting point to get saved. What you say about all that, I said all that to say this. There are some of them say just being scared of hell ain't going to get you saved. But I'm going to tell you what's a good starting place. Now, you looking at a fellow tonight, I'll tell you, hey, brother, I was raised a Baptist. I was the same way you were. Amen. I knew Jesus was real. I knew all the Bible was right. I'm going to tell you, listen to me. I'm the King James man forever got saved. I was raised right. But I was lost. I want to tell you, I remember the night I saw myself lost. I realized that in a Sunday school class, Brother Tim, a Sunday school teacher had the touch of the Holy Ghost on her. And tears are dripping off her face. And she said, "Youngins, God will hear you if you repent." I'm going to tell you, that morning the Holy Ghost arrested my heart and showed me I was lost and showed me I was going to hell. Amen. There ain't nobody had to convince me after that morning that I was going to hell. I knew it. If a man ever comes to realization, the Holy Ghost reveals he's lost, he'll tell you he's going to hell. Amen. He knows that fact. There is a hell. It's a real place. Can I say to you also, Stanley, real people are in hell. And real people are going to hell. Amen. The rich man was a real man. This is not a parable. Regardless what the doctor do-nothing thinks. Amen. Amen. Dr. Jack Frost in the First Baptist Ice Cube Church. Amen. Regardless what they think and say, this is a man that lived and he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Amen. And he's still there today. As we're gathered here tonight, over 2,000 years now, plus, that man's been in hell all this time. Amen. There's real people in hell. There's mamas and daddies, sons and daughters, grandparents and grandchildren, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, cousins, friends and neighbors, co-workers, classmates that are in hell tonight. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I've known people I went to school with died. Yes, sir. Some saved, there's some of them more than likely lost. Real opportunity, they is lost, and tonight they're in hell. Now I'm gonna tell you, that's something we don't like thinking about. And ladies and gentlemen, if I asked you to raise your hand tonight, I'd say we'd get 100% that everybody in here knows somebody lost. And I'd say it'd stay close to 100% if we asked if you had somebody in your family that's lost. I've got lost in my immediate family. I'm talking about I've got a child still lost. Got two of them that's professed to get saved, but I've got one still lost. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm careful when I go in this church. They like to pick them green some places. Not me, buddy. Let them simmer a while. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The night I got a real conviction, got saved, they wasn't nobody going to talk me out of it. Amen. I've seen them go to the altar and say, "Won't get saved, don't get saved, and go back." That wasn't me that night. But I moved toward God because I knew He'd save me. And I was wanting to get saved. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm going to say tonight, I got that young in my house and I've been praying and praying. He don't fully understand yet. But one day he's going to. I've been praying lately, Brother Tony. God opened his heart. Well, that's what's going to happen. And for your family to get saved, God's going to have to open their heart. Amen. You say, "Preacher, I'm witnessing." They just can't see. You got it. And they never will see till God cuts the light on. Amen. Listen, you don't roll out of bed saying, "This is my day." That gets me in trouble in a lot of places. Preaching, that's right, preaching. You don't get saved without the drawing power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, somebody say, how do you know it's the Holy Ghost? You ain't going to have to ask nobody. Amen. It ain't going to be the question, who is? Oh, you're going to know who it is. Amen. The Lord doesn't do anything in secret. He doesn't do anything underhanded. You say, preacher, I'm doubting if I'm saved. Well, ask the Lord. Because He ain't going to say, well, I ain't sure. And He's not going to say, you've been doing this, and this. I don't know. He's straightforward. It'll be yes, you are, or no, you're not. Amen. That's it. That's how He does. God ain't going to hide something that crucial and that important from you. Do you hear me tonight? That's one thing for sure He is going to be very open about in your life. There are a lot of mysteries in our life that we'll never know. But that thing about your soul, He's open about that. Amen. Don't matter how long you've been a church member, how religious you are, you must be born again. Amen. There's real people in hell and real people on the way to hell. Oh, listen, hey, we get a hold of this, it'll change our witness around our community. And it'll change the way we give. He mentioned about that offering plate, and boy, something just come to my mind. It jumped to my mind that quick, and he got talking about that fella smiling. I've never seen a true born-again, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. I mean, loved God, was serving God in the Word. I've never seen one of them get afraid of that offering plate. I ain't never seen one of them. I see a lot of them when they ain't got nothing, it tears them up. Amen. Yeah. Amen right there. I'm preaching right. I'm telling you, if we can get a hold of this fact again, and by the way, put in practice what we know.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Understand it's a real place. Understand there's real people that's in hell. Can I say number three, and I'm about done? There's real pain in hell. He lifted His eyes at hell being in torments. And boy, He listed a lot of those torments. There's thirst in hell. Just dip the tip of this thing. Have you ever done that yourself? I challenge you to go home tonight. Do it in the fellowship hall in a few minutes. Get you a cup of water. Stick your finger in it. Pull it out and see how many drops of water you can get off the end of your finger. He didn't ask for a cup. He said, let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Just touch my tongue with it. There ain't much water going to come off the end of your finger. But in hell there is a desire for thirst, and it'll never be quenched.
Amen.
Amen. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. When you get saved, there's a fountain comes into you. You can drink on a daily basis. Amen. And by the way, when we get to heaven, there ain't going to be a crystal river. Amen. A river flowing from the throne of God. Hey, listen to me. We'll be satisfied for all eternity. Amen. A lost person will thirst for all eternity. No, that there's crying for mercy, and there's no mercy in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, this life's over, it's it. No purgatory. No second chance. Amen. Are you hearing me real good? No second chance. And I'm going to throw this out, and I've been hitting this a lot in the last few years because God's been really stirring this in my heart, because there are so many cults and so much mess out yonder. You're around people that talk about knowing God, and then when you get here and talk about this and that in the Bible, you find out they don't believe nothing. I'm going to tell you something. You don't burn up in hell. There's no annihilation in hell. I'm going to say something right here, and listen to what I'm saying. If all was going to happen is you was going to cease to be, you was going to be annihilated, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about just not existing? But the problem is, you know you're not going to burn up and cease to exist. You know forever and ever and ever you're going to burn. And by the way, did you notice also, He did not say, I'm tormented by this flame. He said, in this flame. I've been tormented by a flame before, burning a brush pile. It come back toward you and get out of the way. Can't get out of the fire of hell. You're in it. Amen. That man said, I'm tormented in this flame.
By the way, that King James Bible is precise. I mean, it's right in every word. Every bit is right. He made sure he understood this flame, not just a flame or that flame. This flame. See, there's a place in hell for everyone that rejects Christ. There's a flame for them that'll burn but never burn them up.
Amen.
I hope you hear me well tonight. Friend, there's real pain in hell. Real pain in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, we finally had a memory. Because Abraham said, remember. Remember. Now I will say this. In hell, they'll remember every chance they had to get saved. We've preached that, and that's right. They're going to know I didn't have to wind up here. But by my own choice, I did. But I want to remind us that are saved of a great truth right here. And I'm not attacking any songs. Understand what I'm about to say. Hey, some guys just want to, kick everything. But understand what I'm saying. We sing in funerals a lot of times, no tears in heaven fair. I understand what that songwriter meant. All right? I'm not attacking that man nor the song. But ladies and gentlemen, there'll be tears until after the great white throne judgment. You read Revelation 21, that's when. After Revelation 20, after we see our family, our friends, are cast in the lake of fire, after that is when He'll wipe away all tears. Amen. I'll tell you something. We're going to stand there one day at the great white throne. We ain't going to the lake of fire. We're saved. Fireproof. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, on my soul is stamped New Jerusalem bound. Amen. Yeah, I'm a white horse rider. You got that right. Amen. New Jerusalem bound. That's me, Brother Tony. That's right. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you something. We'll be there, though, watching the judgment. Because we're going to be with the Lord forever. And as He judged, there'll be people we've known here that have rejected Christ. And they're going to be told, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're cast into the lake of fire. To burn forever and ever. Amen. Now you listen to me right here. I wonder how we're going to feel that day when it's somebody we knew. And not only just knew them, but we had the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at a preacher that ain't been perfect for 31 years. You're looking at a Christian that ain't been perfect for 31 years. I did like some folk do. As a teenage boy, I got saved when I was 10 years old. But when I got my teens, I let my flesh make me afraid and ashamed. Amen. And I had opportunity. I could have lived for God, could have been a witness for God, and I didn't do it. I can't get none of that back. You hear me? Can't get not one moment of that back. I have met some since then. And they all tell you, I can't believe you're preaching. I wouldn't have believed it neither. I tell you what did happen, and I want you to really listen to what I'm about to say right here. Because this about right here is when God began really getting my attention as a backslid Christian. It going into ninth grade one time, hey, some students, and they got talking about church. Now, they weren't living no more right God than me. But they were talking, but I was worse than they was. I got hooked up the wrong bunch. I was in a mess. And they got talking about church, and I packed in on it, and they whirled around and looked at me and said, what do you know about this? Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. When you really get on fire for God, you better understand you're going to face a whole lot of that.
Amen.
When you first really sell out and start serving God, because all they've known is what you have been up to that point. You might as well come to grips with that. And understand that you were out of the will of God. You've got that right. But you're going to live for God from then on. Amen. Because there's a lost world out there. Now listen to me real good. We're witnessing here in our Jerusalem. And in our community. And in our county. And in our country. And then in the continents of the world. Amen. I'm going to tell you, every church needs to have home missions and foreign missions. Every church needs to support a Bible printing ministry, because you can't get saved apart from the Word of God. That Bible's what told us we was lost. That Bible's what told us about Jesus. Amen. And I'll tell you something else is good too, and I'm just throwing this out. It's good to find you a good work to the Jew. Could you stand to be blessed? That charismatic bunch always hollering at, I'm going to tell you how to really get blessed. You do something for God's chosen people. Amen right there. We need to understand. One day, Brother Tony, I've never been out of the country much. I went to the Holy Land two times, and I've been down to Mexico, and I preached down there with one of them interpreters, but I ain't been out of the country much. But the Lord's let me do it. But you know what? I've given to missions all my life. Yes, sir. I've been saved. I was introduced faith promise. I gave them faith promise. Churches I passed, we supported missionaries. I gave in offerings for missionaries and things like that. Do you know something? One day there's going to be a crowd meet us in heaven that we ain't never laid eyes on, ain't never talked to them. And they're going to say, thank you. Amen. Thank you for sending somebody with the gospel to tell me about Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you something now. This may not be what everybody thinks of heaven to them, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible is. We're going to have a lot of time. Eternity's a long time. We're going to have plenty of time to sit down and talk it all over and meet folk that we ain't never met in this life that got saved, and some of them we helped win to God because we sent a missionary to them. Amen. I want to tell you something. Listen to me right here, and I'm done. There's a young man on the Texas-Mexico border, Brother Scott Owens, tonight. Brother Scott, I met him years ago at Center Pigeon Baptist Church. I was preaching a youth rally. I'm going to tell you what, fellas. You may get up and hit the ball out of the park every time you get up to preach, but sometimes I ain't sure I got in the batter's box or got the bat by the right side. Well, that was one of them nights I don't know if I got in the batter's box. I felt like I struck out. I tried to preach on repentance that night. I didn't know Scott from nobody. And I didn't know what was going on in his life. I preached all I bombed. I sat next guy got behind me. I don't tell you, that dude peeled the paint off the wall. Son, I mean, they shouted, they hooped, they hollered. And then when they gave me into old Scott, got out, pew, fell in the altar, and got saved. I rejoiced with him, you know. And he said, thank you for preaching to me going out that night. And I thought to myself, boy, what are you telling me thank you for? Well, a few years went by. I didn't know who Scott was, didn't know him, didn't see him again. Till one night in a camp meeting at Georgetown Baptist Church out in Leicester, North Carolina. I come in to preach that night, and I sat down with my family, and here come a young man up to talk to me. I didn't know who he was, because he sure didn't look like the fellow I saw Center Pigeon that night.
Go ahead. Amen.
He walked up and said, you're David Shelton, ain't you? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, do you remember me? Now, when they really corn you, boys, when you can fake it for a while. But, boys, when they just point blank, do you know who I am? You finally got to admit, no, I ain't too sure who you are. And he said, you remember preaching at Center Pigeon Baptist Church? I said, yeah. I said, that's a mess. I said, I bumped. He said, no, preacher. He said, I've been drunk the night before, and them boys got me up that day and got me sobered up and brought me that meeting that night. Filled me full of coffee, sobered me up. And said, Brother David, why you as a preacher on repentance, the Holy Ghost began working in my heart. I couldn't see nothing happening. I didn't know. I thought, there ain't nothing happening with me preaching. God saved that boy. God called him to preach. I preach revival in the church he used to pastor. And now he's down there in a work and reaching more folks. Just talked to him yesterday. Amen. You never know what God, when you're just obedient, doing what God said in the Word, being that witness, sending that mission on, doing what God said to do, you'll never know. I'm telling you, along long might be a handful of purpose God tell me. There'll be a lot of things we'll learn after a while when you tell me. Amen. There's one in hell and five in one. Friend, we need to keep that in our heart, that people are lost and we need to reach them with the gospel. There's no price too high. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We're never going to outgive God, and we ain't going to bankrupt heaven. Amen. I found out you give it and He puts it back in. Amen. I found that in my own life when submitting to the will of God to be a full-time evangelist. I left a good church. I left a place that took care of me. If I told you everything they'd done for me, you'd swear I had a cult. That's good to me. Amen. But God touched my heart. And you know what? I've seen God supply. Because we stepped out by faith. I've seen God do... I thought, where is this going to come from? I thought it was. See, that's God. God. You see, preacher, I ain't got... Hey, that's why it's called faith promise. We got too much feeling living.
Right, right.
Go ahead. And I have something I can feel.
Right.
Oh, yes. I feel it every now and then.
Go ahead,
but that's part of this thing. We're going to live by faith. Because the just shall live by faith. Amen. You make that step of faith, God honors faith. He honors faith. You won't go wrong doing the will of God. Amen.